I'd like to welcome you to this worship service here from the Hillview Seventh-day Adventist Church. I want to welcome each and every one of you wherever you may be watching, whether you're watching in Currumbong or the surrounding area, New South Wales, Australia, or anywhere around the world. I just want to welcome you to our worship service. Happy Sabbath to each and every one of you. And it's wonderful to have this opportunity to come together and to worship our great God and our Saviour Jesus Christ and Lord. I want to thank the worship team that have put our program together. We praise the Lord for them. I want to thank God for the Hillview Church family. It's wonderful to be part of a great church family. And it's been great this past week with all the changes. And as you can see, where we are filming is not in the church itself. We're not able to film there right now, but I want to thank God for the Hillview Church family that have sent me many emails, text messages, phone calls of how much they appreciate the worship team, the AV team, and all those connected with the worship service in order to be able to bring this service to each and every one of you in your homes during this live stream. Last week, we were blessed to be able to meet in small groups. However, this week we don't have that luxury or that possibility. But let's never forget that whether we are on our own worshiping the Lord right now, or whether we're with our family, whoever we may be with right now, the Lord is with us, and that's what matters most. I want to thank God for His precious promises that we have in His Word. And today, once again, we want to focus on God's Word. We want to focus on the sure and certain promises that we have in His Word. Today, I'm beginning a new series. It's the third series of the year. The Lord planned it like this. This was to be the third series of the year when I first put some plans in place as I prayed about what the Lord wanted me to share for this year. And so we started off with a relationship with Jesus and how to have a relationship with Him. We moved on to a series looking at the second coming of the Holy Spirit that would prepare us for the second coming of Jesus. So in this series that begins today on the second coming of Jesus, I pray that each and every one of us will be blessed to draw nearer to Jesus, to put more and more faith and trust in Him, and to spend more time in His precious Word. So this morning's message I've entitled The Certainty of His Coming in this series, COVID-19 and the Second Coming of Jesus. I don't need to remind any of us the uncertain times that we are living in. I can't ever remember a time in my lifetime when our world has changed so quickly and so dramatically in such a short time. I was around when September 11 took place. Some of you were, some of you probably weren't. And that was a huge event. I mean, that was huge. But this situation that we find ourselves in is on another level still. And so there's a lot of uncertainty, there's a lot of fear, there's a lot of anxiety, there's confusion. We're in a crisis. We are in a world crisis. And that's not just Pastor Danny saying that. It's what our world leaders are saying. And they're scrambling. They're scrambling day and night to try and deal with this tsunami plague, I call it, this virus, this coronavirus that has overtaken our world, that has literally transformed how we live. And I'm not immune. No one's immune. And so we're finding new ways of how to connect with one another, new ways of communicating, new ways of doing life together. And so this is the time that we are living in. I subscribed to Time magazine, and Time magazine this week arrived in my letterbox on Monday. And this was the front cover of Time magazine for this week. The headline on the front cover, When the World Stops. And literally, that is what's taken place. The world has literally come to a grinding halt in so many ways, whether it be education, whether it be work, whether it be leisure, whether it be sporting events, you name it, things have dramatically and drastically changed. So people are asking, where to next? I mean, what else can we do? I mean, we're kind of in a bit of a lockdown here in Australia, not as much as New Zealand that have gone, they've gone the whole hog, where for the next month, they're not going anywhere. They're staying indoors unless they need food or medical supplies or need to see a doctor or walk the dog and do some exercise. And we're living in a time when some of the massive, major, multi-million population cities around the world have gone in lockdown. They've become ghost towns. And so people are asking the question, and people have been asking me the question, what's going to happen next? There is great uncertainty. How will it end? When will it end? What will be the implications? And today, from God's Word, we're going to discover a beautiful message that goes all the way through Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation. And that message is on the certainty of the second coming of Jesus. So wherever you are, I want to invite you, before we open up God's Word together, we're going to pray and we're going to ask Him to bless our time together. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank You so much that we can spend time in Your Word. We ask and pray that as we open Your Word, You'll open our hearts and our minds, that we may be able to receive this message of hope, this message of certainty in this day and age where there is so much uncertainty, so much confusion, so much fear, so much anxiety, so much trepidation. So Father, please guide us and lead us through Your Word. We pray in Your name. Amen. Amen. That Time magazine article that I referred to, that I received this week, although it's dated March 30, which is this coming Monday, the words that I'm about to share with you were published probably a couple of weeks ago that really sum up the times that we are living in. Notice these words from Nicole Chung. She wrote one article in this magazine, and this is how she summed up, and I think she summed it up better than anyone else I have come across, just the times we're living in. Every day, writes Nicole, brings what feels like a month's worth of bad news. A month's worth of bad news in every single 24-hour day. And that's literally what it's been like during this 24/7 relentless news coverage of COVID-19. So let's turn to some good news. We're going to turn to some good news, and we're going to turn to the words of Jesus. We're going to start off with the words of Jesus. If you have your Bibles there, wherever you are at home or wherever you may be watching, I want to encourage you to take out your Bible right now. We're going to turn to John chapter 14. We're going to go to the words of Jesus. Right from the word go, we're going to go to the words of Jesus, and then we're going to finish off this message with the words of Jesus. So John chapter 14. These words were shared by Jesus toward the end of his life, toward the end of his 3.5-year ministry. It's Thursday night. Jesus is gathered with his disciples there in the upper room. He's having the Passover service, and he's about to institute the communion service that represents his body and his blood that would be shed for the entire world, for the remission of sins, that we may have this hope that we're about to share in today. And he's there with his disciples, and he shares with them during this crisis time in his life. He's about to go to Calvary. He's about to die for the sins of the world. The disciples are about to lose their master. They're about to lose their Lord and Savior. They have no idea what's on the horizon. And this is what Jesus shares with them in John chapter 14 and beginning in verse 1. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." Notice those words of certainty. I will come again. And he goes on, "and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Beautiful words of assurance, beautiful words of certainty. And this is in the context, if you read the previous verse, of Jesus telling Peter that in a few short hours, he would deny him three times that he ever knew him. But Jesus says, don't let your heart be troubled. You see, the second coming is that beautiful message throughout Scripture. One person estimated some 1,500 promises on the second coming, all the way from Genesis to the book of Revelation. This is that most beautiful passage, sorry, the most beautiful promise that we find in Scripture. In fact, in the book of Jude, we have a record of who was the very first person to preach and to teach and to share on this beautiful promise, the blessed hope of the second coming. And we have these words recorded in Jude, verse 14, chapter 1, verse 14. There's only one chapter in Jude, where the author writes, "Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints." That was the very first person that we have in Scripture that shared the good news of the promise of the second coming. And as we go through to the very last book of the Bible, if you want to turn with me to the book of Revelation, notice how the apocalypse, the final book of the Revelation, ends. Notice these words in Revelation. And I'll take a look at the first chapter, Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7, and we read these words. "Behold," John writes, "he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him." Even so, amen, he says. And all the way through the book of Revelation, the promise of the second coming is front and center. And you go to the very last chapter of the book of Revelation, and not once, not twice, but three times, the promise of Jesus' coming is heralded as absolute certainty. Notice the words of Jesus. I have a red letter Bible where the words of Jesus are in red. And notice these words, Revelation 22 and verse 7. Jesus says, "Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." Again, in verse 12, he repeats, "And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work." And then his final words, the last words of Jesus as recorded in the book of Revelation, John records the words of Jesus in verse 20. "He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly." Jesus wants us to nail this down, the certainty of his coming. Jesus says, "Surely I am coming quickly. I am coming quickly." Now you may be thinking, quickly? How can 2,000 years be quickly? That's another study for another day. And we'll unpack what Jesus meant by quickly and what that means to you and what that means to me in preparation for his coming and as we await the coming of Jesus. And I love how John concludes and he says, "Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." That's how Scripture concludes. That's how Scripture concludes. Adam and Eve, who were the first human beings that were afflicted, not by the coronavirus, but by something far greater, far more deadly, by the sin virus. They and their descendants all the way through from their day, some 6,000 years ago, to our day, have been looking forward to the second coming of Jesus. When it comes to the second coming of Jesus, I want us to reflect on an individual who you and I can relate to very much so today. This individual is the name of Job. Now Job, he's an interesting character. The book of Job, if you want to find it, if you're not very familiar with the Bible, is the book just before the book of Psalms, right there in the very center of the Bible. Now, Job is considered to be one of the earliest or one of the oldest books of the Bible. Now, Job, the Bible tells us in chapter 1 and chapter 2, we don't have time to unpack the story and read it. You can read it yourself. But Job was a man who the Bible says he loved God. He feared God. He put his faith and trust in God. And the Bible says God blessed Job. That God blessed Job in a way such as he had not blessed anybody else in that part of the world at that particular time. Job was wealthy. Job had a beautiful family, had a wife, and God had blessed him with 10 children, and everything was going really, really well for Job. I won't get into the story, you can read it, but on one occasion, God pointed to Job when he met up with Satan and he said, "Have you considered my servant Job, how faithful he is?" And Satan responded, "He's only faithful to you because you have blessed him. You have blessed him abundantly in wealth and health and family and all the things that are near and dear to us. Health, family, wealth. You have blessed him." And God said to Satan, "He's in your hands. You can do anything and everything you want to him, except you can't take his life." And that's exactly what Satan went about doing. He took away Job's wealth. He took away Job's family. And he took away Job's health. And in the darkest and deepest moment of Job's life, notice what Job had to say as he meditated and contemplated the second coming of Jesus. Notice these words, and I have them up on the screen for you in Job chapter 19, verses 25 to 27. Notice these words. Job declares, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God." I love those words of assurance, that in my flesh I shall see God. Whom, Job goes on and he says, "I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. How my heart yearns within me." This is Job. This is Job. He's lost all of his children. He's lost all of his wealth. And he's lost his health. He's covered from head to toe with boils. Satan has afflicted him. Satan has brought in this horrible devastation and destruction in his life. And yet Job had the assurance that he would see God. I love what Job says. He says, "Though he slay me, yet I will trust in him." And you can read that in Job. In Job chapter 13 and verse 15, "Though he slay me, yet I will trust in him." And really, that's the message for you and I today. You and I living under the shadow, under the clouds of COVID-19. You and I can trust in God like Job trusted in God. Did Job have any idea why things were happening the way they were? Where did it come from? Why all of a sudden his life was turned upside down? And actually, as you read the story, and I'd encourage you to do that, in Job chapter 1, it's literally a mirror image of what's happening in the world right now. If you read the story, there in the space of a few short hours, probably an hour or two, Job's life is turned upside down when number one, all of his livestock and all of his possessions, all of his servants, they're all wiped out by and large. Then his children are wiped out. And then a short time later, his health is taken from him. And that's exactly what's happening today. Today we find ourselves living in a world where the sure foundations, our normality has been literally stripped from us in a matter of days. Things have completely changed in a matter of weeks. Our lives have been turned upside down. Lives and livelihoods are no longer what they were. And if anyone can relate to the life of Job, it's surely us today. Yet Job trusted in God. He didn't understand. He trusted in God. And you and I, we can trust in God. We don't always understand why things happen the way they do. Why is all this taking place right now? I've got no idea. Where is it leading to? I don't know. Well, I do know. It's all leading to the second coming of Jesus, as we'll discover very, very shortly. But what I do know is that Jesus can be relied on. He can be trusted. I can put my faith and trust in him and his promises and his word. And he has promised that he's going to see me through. And he's going to see you through. He will see all of us through to the very end. I want to encourage you to put your faith and trust in Jesus. I love this beautiful scripture from the Apostle Paul, where the Apostle Paul writes in Titus chapter 2, verse 13, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what Job was looking forward to. Job was looking forward to the blessed hope. He was looking forward to the glorious appearing of his great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And you and I can also look forward to the coming of Jesus. My friend, my dear church member, whoever you may be, wherever you may be, this is a time to spend time in the promises of God's word. This is a time to meditate on the promises of his second coming and how you and I can be prepared for his coming. We spend way too much time meditating on what Hollywood produces. I think it's time that you and I opened up God's holy word and spent a little bit more time. Why not? Why not now? Many of us don't have too many options. We're kind of stuck at home, or we need to be at home, and we've been encouraged to self-isolate and social distance and stay at home and so on and so forth. This is a time for you and I to spend more time in God's word. This is a time for us to allow God to place within us those precious promises deep within our hearts that will keep us going no matter what comes our way. This is why the Seventh-day Adventist Church has been called into existence for such a time as this, to prepare the world for the second coming of Jesus. In fact, this mission of preparing the world for the second coming of Jesus is literally in the name of Seventh-day Adventists. If you're a Seventh-day Adventist, whether you're part of my church family or not, I want to plead with you, I want to appeal to you right now that this is the moment in time when you and I have been called by God to shine forth the beautiful message of the second coming of Jesus. It's in our name. We're called Adventists. What's an Adventist? An Adventist is someone who is proclaiming the advent of Jesus, that he's coming back soon. If ever there was a time when this world, when our neighbors, our friends needed to hear good news, that there is hope on the way, that there is a light at the end of the tunnel, that there is certainty, it's now. It's now. Get on the phone. Get on your Zoom. Get on Skype. Do whatever you need to. I know we've been discouraged from meeting in person one-on-one, and I understand that. But now is the time to get on the phone, to do what you can, to share a word of encouragement, to share a word of hope. Now is the time. People now are more open than ever before. I mean, do you remember a time? Do you remember a time? I certainly don't. When our major sporting events were literally cancelled, put on hold. I don't. Now is the time when people have more time and they're thinking more so. I mean, this is a time when people are waking up. They're asking questions. And you and I, if you're an Adventist, you and I have the answers, and the answers are found in God's word. Well, I want us now to go to the words of Jesus. We want to go to the words of Jesus. Did Jesus have anything to say about the times you and I are living in? Did he possibly address our day and age? Absolutely. 2,000 years ago, Jesus knew about COVID-19. He knew that it was coming, and he even knew when it would come. And in order to prepare the Dannys, the Adams, the Celias, the you fill in the blank, in order to prepare his people, God shared a message through his son Jesus Christ only days out from his crucifixion in order to prepare us that we may prepare the world for the second coming of Jesus. I want to invite you to go with me to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. As I pointed out, these words were shared by Jesus toward the end of his journey, only a few days out before his crucifixion. And he's there with his disciples on the Mount of Olives. You can find this passage in Luke 21, in Matthew 24, and Mark chapter 13. And in this passage, Jesus here addresses the signs that would precede the destruction of Jerusalem and the signs that would precede his second coming, these two events that have so many connections, and more importantly, how you and I can be ready and how we can prepare the world for his soon return. Luke chapter 21, and I won't go through and read this entire passage. We're going to unpack more of Luke 21 and more of some of these other passages in the coming weeks. But notice Jesus spoke of what you and I are experiencing right now. In Luke chapter 21, and we're going to drop down to verse 10. So if you want to drop down to verse 10 with me, Luke chapter 21 and verse 10. Jesus speaking to his disciples, they've asked him for signs relating to his coming, when his coming would be, what would be the signs concerning his coming. And Jesus here shares these words. He said to them, I'm in verse 10, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. That's for another day. Nation rising against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And notice these words now in verse 11, and there will be great earthquakes in various places, and famines and pestilences, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. Pestilences. That word appears three times in the New Testament. Once here, it also appears in Matthew 24, and we're going to go there next week together. And the last time it appears is to describe the ministry of Paul, the Apostle Paul, who by his Jewish leader accusers was referred to as a pest, as a pestilence, one who troubled the people. Now, what is a pestilence? It's not a word that we have really been hearing in the media or in our news. It's not a word we've really been hearing. We've been hearing about virus. We've been hearing disease. But we haven't been really hearing the word pestilence. Notice what the word means. I looked up the word pestilence from the Cambridge Dictionary, and notice the dictionary definition. Pestilence, any very serious infectious disease that spreads quickly and kills large numbers of people. Pestilence. We're in the grip of a worldwide pandemic, a pestilence. Jesus said this would be the case. And you're thinking, but Danny, surely over the past 2,000 years, there have been many, many pandemics that have wiped out millions and millions of people. Indeed, there have been. We had one in 1918, the Spanish flu, that wiped out between 50 and 100 million people. We're aware of that. That's been shared broadly in our news. There was also the Black Plague of the 14th century that killed some 75 to 200 million people, about 500 million people in the world at the time, estimated. There have been many, many plagues. What's so significant about this plague? Well, the significance is that this is part of the signs that Jesus said would be part of his coming. We're going to take a look at something very interesting regarding pestilence next week when we journey together through Matthew 24. But I want us now to take a look at Jesus describing the actual psyche. What would be the emotional state of the people that would live just before his coming? What would be the state of our world? What would be the state of political leadership at this time? If you go over to Luke chapter 21 and verse 25, notice this is very much in the context of Jesus is at the doors, he's about to return. Notice these words in Luke chapter 21 and verse 25. Jesus says, and there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth, notice that first word, distress of nations. Let's just pause there for a moment. Distress of nations. What does that word entail? Well, once again, I went to the dictionary and I looked up the word distress. And this time from the American dictionary, notice the definition for this word distress. Great mental or physical suffering, such as extreme anxiety, sadness or pain, or the state of being in danger or urgent need. I can't help but see this definition as a perfect definition for the times that you are living in and that I'm living in. Notice what Jesus went on and said. He said there would be distress of nations with perplexity. Notice that word perplexity. Once again, I looked it up just to get a better understanding of that word. Cambridge Dictionary this time, a state of confusion or a complicated and difficult situation or thing. I don't know about you, but I sense that there is a lot of confusion in the world. Things are complicated. Things are complex. Do we keep our children at school in order for the medical personnel to be able to go about their business, in order to enable our economy to somehow keep going? What do? Today, governments around the world, including our own, are pumping trillions of dollars into our world economy in order to somehow save the economy. Nobody really knows what's going to happen, when it's going to happen. There's great uncertainty. There's a state of great confusion. Jesus went on. Have a look what else Jesus says. With perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear, and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Fear. Fear. What does that word mean? Have a look at the dictionary definition once again. An unpleasant emotion or thought that you have when you are frightened or worried by something dangerous, painful or bad that is happening, or notice these words, or might happen. That's where our world is. That's the world that we're living in. That's the 24/7 coverage that we wake up with and that we go to sleep with. People are not sure what's happening or what will happen. There is fear of something dangerous, something painful, something horrible. So how do we respond? How do we respond in this day and age? How do we live? Notice what Jesus says. Then, verse 27, then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. Jesus says, when you see all these things taking place, when you see the pestilence, which we have, tick, when you see distress amongst the nations, tick, when you see perplexity, a state of confusion, tick, when you see fear of that which is happening or that which might happen, when you see the anxiety that we are seeing today, know that my coming is near. So Jesus says, don't look around you. Don't necessarily watch the news over and over again. And I'd encourage you, if you've been watching too much news, give it a break. Give it a rest. It's bad news. It's all bad news, unfortunately. Yes, we need to be informed. But maybe we need to be a little bit more informed in the Word of God. I want to encourage you to not look around you, not even look at yourself, but look up. Look up, because the Bible says our redemption is drawing near. Our redemption is drawing near. And that redemption is salvation. That redemption is deliverance. Because you see, our problem is not COVID-19. Our problem ultimately is that we live on this sin-sick planet that is desperately crying out for salvation. And Jesus is the only hope. He is the only answer. He is the only one that can give you assurance. His coming and Jesus and His word is the only certainty that you and I can have. And so I want to encourage you, put your faith and trust in Jesus. You can trust Him, because there is a new day coming, a new day coming. And I want to go to that new day. I want to go to the book of Revelation. I want to go to how it's all going to end and where it's going to end. Notice what we read in Revelation 21 and verse 4. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. And we can add in there will be no more fear, no more anxiety. No more. He goes on. There shall be no more pain, writes John the Revelator, for the former things have passed away. And now notice, I love these words. I love these words in verse 5, Revelation 21, verse 5. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, and notice these words, don't miss these words. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. True and faithful. My friend, my dear brother, my dear sister, you and I can put our faith and trust in God's word. These words are true and faithful. Everything that God has said, everything that Jesus said has come to pass, is coming to pass. And what is still on the horizon will come to pass. Jesus said, when you see all these things happening, when you see all these things coming to pass, look up, because I am on my way. I am on my way about to deliver my precious children that have put their faith and trust in me. Faith and trust in me. I was at a funeral. In fact, I was at two funerals this week. Funerals are sad at the best of times. God never intended for us to be at funerals. It was never part of his plan. And I was at two funerals. But what made these two funerals even more sad was the new rules and regulations of social distancing. I was there in the Currumbong Cemetery Chapel. And people, instead of being close together, comforting one another, encouraging one another, they were sitting like a meter or two apart. The son of a mother who had passed away was grieving, and the funeral director had to come up to him and ask him to sit apart from his dear wife. I've got no idea why he did that, but he did it anyway. I'm sure he meant well and is just trying to follow regulations. It broke my heart. It broke my heart to see that. I was at the second funeral, and instead of giving one another hugs, they gave each person one of these signs, giving you a socially distanced hug. And this is what we did. Instead of hugging one another, couldn't even shake hands, we just put this little sign up. That was it. That's all we could do. My friends, the day is coming when social distancing will be over, when there'll be no more social distancing, where we'll be together, when there'll be no more viruses of any kind, because Jesus would have eradicated sin and Satan and suffering and sorrow. Sin and Satan, the ultimate cause of all viruses, of all pain, of all suffering. We're about to sing a song. We're about to sing a song as we close, and I just thank God for the guys that are going to be leading out in this a cappella song, and I pray that you will join in. It's a very precious song to me, a very precious hymn. It's very near and dear to me because it was a hymn, and I've got to be very, very careful here as I think about this. It was the hymn that we sung as my mother passed away in December last year. December 4, we were around her bed. My sisters, myself, my family was there, and we were singing. We were singing songs of praise. We were singing songs of encouragement. And the song, the hymn that we sang as my mother breathed her last was the sing. What was the hymn? We have this hope. We have this hope that burns within our hearts. And as we sing that hymn together, we have this hope. It's my prayer that at this time, you will once again invite Jesus into your home and into your heart. Right now, there's no better time. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. Today is the day. This is the moment. Wherever you are, I want to invite you to give Jesus your heart and your life once again. Put your life in his nail-scarred hands. There is certainty in his nail-scarred hands. And say, Lord, I want to be ready when you come. I want to be ready when you come. Get to know Jesus today. And when Jesus comes, he will say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. When Jesus comes, we will cry out, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him and he will save us. This is our God. We have waited for him and he will save us. Put your faith and trust in Jesus, my friend. We have this hope that burns within our hearts. Share this hope with someone else. Take the time. Share this hope with someone else. May God bless you wherever you may be watching from. May God bless us all as together we look forward to and pray earnestly for that day when Jesus will come. And in the words of John, I cry out and I pray, even so, come Lord Jesus. God bless you. Amen.
We have this hope that burns within our hearts. Hope in the coming of the Lord. We have this faith that Christ alone imparts. Faith in the promise of His word. Time is here when the nations far and near shall awake and shout and sing, Hallelujah, Christ is King. We have this hope that burns within our hearts.
What a blessing to have the blessed hope. We've just sung that beautiful hymn. We have this hope that burns within our hearts. Hope in the coming of the Lord. I want to encourage you wherever you are as we conclude our service right now, just to bow your head as we seek the Lord in prayer and thank Him for that precious and blessed hope in the coming of Jesus. Let's pray. Father in heaven, wow. What a journey we have been on through your word. Father, we see what is taking place around us. We feel what is taking place around us. Oh, Father, in this day and age that we live, these strange and unusual times, these unprecedented times, as we are told over and over and over again, we thank you, Lord, that we have the sure word of prophecy. We have the sure word of the promises of hope in the coming of Jesus. We thank you, Father, that COVID-19 did not catch you off guard, but in the words of your dear Son, you perfectly describe the days that we would be living in. But more so, Father, through Jesus, you told us when we see all these things, when we see all these things taking place and accelerating, look up, because your redemption is drawing near. Oh Lord, we thank you for the day when there'll be no more pain, no more suffering, no more sorrow, no more social distancing, for we will together be and forever be with one another and ultimately with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's my earnest prayer that each person who is watching this, wherever they may be, that right now, dear Lord, they'll give their hearts and lives to you, that right now they will invite you into their hearts and lives, and that right now they will say, Jesus, when you come, Jesus, I want to be ready and I want to be with you. Bless us now, I pray, for the rest of this Sabbath day. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen and amen and amen, and God bless you.